June 29, 2014, Sunday afternoon service. Today we will study from Psalm 65. To the chief musician, a Psalm of David, a song. Praise is awaiting you, O God, in Zion, and to you the vow shall be performed. When you keep your vow to God, God will keep his vow to you and bring you blessings. Your vow could be tithing or other things. And as for tithing, I have been tithing for a long time, and God always protected my finances. And even with my small income, I was able to support my family. We were never in debt, and we never became homeless. This is not only about money, but if you make a promise to God, be it your prayer time or other things, and if you keep your end of the promise, God will also keep his end of his promise. Verse 2. O you who hear prayer, to you all flesh will come. The Lord hears our prayer. This is his character. So if you have not had any of your prayers answered, you must be praying something out of his will, or you're not praying at all. Or you're just sending out empty prayers. Verse 3. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, you will provide atonement for them. Not only in this society, even in the Christian community, iniquities tend to overwhelm us, but Lord always leads us out of this troubled place. Verse 4. Blessed is the man you choose and cause to approach you, that he may dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, of your holy temple. As the verse says, only the chosen ones can approach God. And it's like only selected people, like famous athletes, can meet our emperor in person. I have never been selected by the emperor, or I know any famous people or politicians. But I want God to choose me. And since we have been preaching the messages of the end time, in a sense, I believe we are chosen by God. And for that, I am very happy. And God choosing people means that there are others who God has not chosen. But if you're chosen and come closer to God, you hear what God is whispering, which you don't hear if you're far away. It is like Peter, John, and James, who were close to Jesus, and they got to hear Jesus in a way others could not. Even when Jesus told the story about the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, which is in the book of Matthew, Jesus told the story only to 3 or 4 disciples, Peter, John, James, and Andrew, I think. Originally, this was a story told to 3 or 4 disciples. But now, 2 billion Christians have the Bible, and we all read the same story. But I think only certain people are close enough to really hear God speaking. And the rest of the people would just read the Bible casually as if nothing is happening. We talked about war and the rumors of wars yesterday at a seminar. This is another thing that God has told us, because we strive to be closer to God, and he secretly tells us what's in his mind. But there are others who are not close to God, so they do not hear God, nor they're interested in what he is saying. Verse 5, by awesome deeds and righteousness you will answer us, O God of our salvation. You who are the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of the far-off seas. God is God of righteousness, and when he brings justice, he does not do it quietly, but he does it in a way that shocks us and leaves us in awe. So we should have the fear of God, and we should not twist his word so that it fits us. Paul calls himself an ambassador of Christ. And if you are an ambassador of a nation, you do not say things casually because you might hurt the reputation of the nation you represent. So we too, as a Christian, need to be mindful not to tarnish God's reputation by twisting His word only for our convenience. Yes, God is love, but He is more than love. If you read God's justice in the Old Testament, northern Israel was destroyed because they abandoned their God, so they were driven out of their promised land and then were taken to Assyria. The same thing happened to Judah in the south, and then they were taken to Babylon. The last king had his eyeballs plucked out and taken hostage. And this is all part of God's justice. So many Christians nowadays say God is love, and then they stop it right there. You know, Japan lost the war in the World War II, and millions of people died and atomic bombs were dropped. But when I think about it, spiritually speaking, this may be God's bringing justice to this nation. Because up until then, Japan was persecuting Christians for centuries, and there were many martyrs who confessed their faith in Christ and got killed in return. It did not happen in the same time period, but that is also God's way of bringing justice to the nation. So I believe that we all need to repent for the past sins of the nation and of our people. Even about the issue of the comfort women, but Japanese military made Korean women into sexual slaves during the war. The Japanese government has now officially acknowledged the sins, nor apologized for our sins. I have not heard the Japanese government apologizing to Korea. So I think God's wrath still continues. And one of the reasons why we experienced the earthquake and the nuclear power plant incident is because of their sin. This sin, I believe. Again, nuclear devastation was brought upon the nation, just like what happened in the war, because there is unfinished business we need to deal with. That's what I think. So as a Christian, we should not say things lightly, saying things like the earthquake was not the wrath of God. It does not say in the Bible that the wrath of God brings it. It does say in the Bible that the wrath of God brings the destruction to the cities. So when He brings the justice, it could be devastating. What I'm also concerned about is God bringing His justice to the United States. The United States has dropped the atomic bombs to Japan and destroyed Vietnam and continues to start wars in all over the world, like Afghanistan. And I am concerned that God will one day bring justice in a way that it is written in the Revelation, that Babylon was burned down in one day. What they think is justice is not God's justice. They're greatly deceived. So all the wrongs that they have done, if the nation does not repent, God will bring justice to the nation. And they already start seeing the signs, and I believe that day is near. Verse 6, who established the mountains by His strength, being clothed with power. Here mountains can be the church, and it is established by God's strength, not by our strength. This small church is still standing because God has strengthened us. So with God's strength, even the weak ones can stand strong. Verse 7, you who still the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the peoples. I believe this is talking about the spiritual tumult. When they talk about water, it is often referring the spirit. To understand this deeper, let's look at Luke 8:23. But as they sailed, He fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water, and were in jeopardy. And they came to Him and awoke Him, saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. Then He arose and rebuked the wind and raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. But He said to them, Where is your faith? And they were afraid and marveled, and saying to one another, Who can this be? For he commands even the winds and water, and they obey him. This windstorm and raging water can be a spiritual storm. And when Jesus rebuked the physical storm, they became calm. The same thing with the spiritual storm. When Jesus commands them to be quiet, they will quiet down. Even as a Christian, we sometimes go through that kind of storm, be it spiritual or emotional. We get attacked by the storm of worries, anger, fear, or whatever the emotions. The other day, when I went to a restaurant, I heard a woman cry very loudly. And I was curious, so I went closer, pretended to get a cup of tea, and I saw who that was. And it was a woman in her 50s, and she was crying to someone who seemed to be her boss. She was so upset and trying to tell him something, but she got all choked up and cried even harder. It was like a major emotional storm. Well, we may also go through that kind of emotional tumult, but Jesus was able to calm the wind and water. And if we depend on him, we also regain peace in us. Sometimes we go through this storm that keeps us from serving the Lord. We cannot work at our church, and we can't do anything for the Lord because we are so disturbed. That's the spiritual storm enemy has brought upon you. But if you depend on Jesus, we will have peace. It will not happen overnight, but gradually you will learn to receive his peace. I'm retired now, but I often think about the time I was working. At work, they would ask me to do some presentation, and I used to feel such oppression and pressure. But as I overcame them each time, eventually I was able to do public speaking with a lot more ease, and I no longer felt the oppression, but I felt peace. Verse 8 and 9. They also who dwell in the farthest parts are afraid of your signs. You make the outgoings of the morning and evening rejoice. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide their grain, for so you have prepared it. Water is so important. If you're a farmer, nothing will grow without water. For us too, we need the spiritual water, which is the Holy Spirit. Without the Spirit, we can do the work, but it will be all empty. But if you seek him, he will fill you with the water. One thing that many Christians make mistake is that they look for vessels. They would look for this minister or that minister to do the miracles or raise the dead. But the important thing is for us to have a prayer life, and we will have the Holy Spirit working in us. Verse 10, you water its ridges abundantly. You settle its furrows. You make it soft with showers. You bless its growth. So the water blesses and helps your spiritual growth. So when it is your turn to preach, which we do for discipleship training, you don't need to panic, but need to pray. The Holy Spirit will teach you many things. And I remember the Holy Spirit reminded me that Jesus was a carpenter and Paul was a tent maker. And Japanese carpenters built wooden houses, but in Jerusalem at that time, they built houses with stone. So Jesus built a strong, permanent home for us. But Paul makes a tent, which is a temporary house, which is an earthly home, the church. So the Holy Spirit will nourish you and teach you many things like that if you just yield to him. Verse 11 to 13. You crown the ear with your goodness, and your paths drip with abundance. They drip on the pasture of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered with grain. They shout for joy. They also sing. These are the blessings that the Holy Spirit brings into our lives. And I believe and I thank God that our church is also seeing such goodness of the Lord.